And now, entering the ring, Jason Hughes, Dustin Dougie Campbell, and Jason Papaw White, the Triple Threat, here on the Strong Booking Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to the Strong Booking Podcast. I just want to go ahead and thank our sponsors real quick. Prestonsburg Fitting and Poke, High Tech Signs and Graphics, and McGuire's Insurance Agency. As you can see today, we got a special guest, Crash Jackson. Jackson, I don't. How do you pronounce it?
Jackson.
Okay, all right.
It's pronounced just like the way it's spelled. J A X O N.
I just want to make sure because I feel like I say it wrong all the time. Anyways, we're going to start with it, guys, and I will go ahead and start it off with the basic question. You know, let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and all that spiel.
Well, obviously, I'm Crash Jackson. I'm originally from Eastern Kentucky, Salyersville, actually. Played sports all my life, you know, football, basketball, that sort of stuff. Went to college and played for a little bit at the University of Pikeville. Then, after that kind of, like, fell off, I started training at Bluegrass Championship Wrestling, actually. Trained there and wrestled there for like 2 years. I had my first match after about 6 months of training because there was like five or six guys canceled or no show. So, you know, Ken, he was like, "Hey, kid, you ready to have your first match?" I was like, "What?" I was like, scared, like, well, can I curse on here or no?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean,
just wanted to make sure before I was just making sure before I just started like popping off or anything like that. Let's just say I had the poop scared out of me because like I hadn't even like really had practice matches. I just done some drills and like learn like the super basic stuff, and you know, my number got called, so I had to go with it. And after that first match, I felt it inside of me, like, because I got a huge reaction from the crowd. I think we were in Inez in Martin. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the venue we were in, but we were in like a gymnasium. And they went nuts for me, and I don't know why. They had never seen me before, because that was my first match. And then just like that feeling, that rush, that excitement, that adrenaline, it woke me up. And then that was April 21st of 2014, and it's what, June 14th of 2020. So I've been doing this for a little over 6 years now. Now I'm residing in Dayton, Ohio, trying to further my career, trying to get a contract, trying to get on TV with whoever it wants to give me a contract. beggars can't be choosy, as that old saying goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I know we all got some questions for you, so I'm just going to give it over to the guys and let them ask you some questions.
Pop them off, boys.
All right. Listen, most people start out watching wrestling. Is that what you started out doing, Jax? Can you remember, you know, when you started watching wrestling, what got you into it?
Yeah, me and my dad, that was like the one thing that me and him bonded over whenever I was a kid. We loved watching wrestling, and it wasn't just like most people, like they had either like Raw, like WWE or WWF at the time, or WCW. We watched both. We went back and forth because like we had specific wrestlers that we liked to watch. We didn't just like one company and that was it. It's like we had favorite wrestlers, so we would go because we knew like guys like Eddie Guerrero and like Rey Mysterio and Sting wasn't on the WWE product, but Stone Cold and The Rock and Undertaker and Kane and Triple H, they weren't on WCW's product. So every Monday night, it was just back and forth, constantly changing the channel. We the batteries in the remote had to get changed out very frequently because of all the changing constantly. And it wasn't just like me and him. It was like a full like family thing because we lived close at the, like where I lived at the time. We lived close to his side of the family, like his parents, his sisters, and my cousins. So whenever there would be pay-per-views for whoever, whether it be WWE or WCW, we'd all go to my aunt's house because she had the bigger house. She had the biggest TV, so we'd all just go in there. There'd be 20, 30 people, and we're just screaming and yelling about who's beating who, and someone got hit in the head with a chair. So it was like a real family thing, like whenever it, like my love of wrestling first started.
That's great. That's what wrestling's supposed to be right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. I like to just thank you for coming on and everything again, Crash. I was wanting to see who all you may have trained under during your journey right now. And
if we're talking about just people who I've like just got like any bit of like advice or anything from, that's a pretty long list. Yeah. I know initially whenever I first started training, I know JT Walker had a hand in helping train me at Bluegrass Championship Wrestling. Henry Shaw, or he used to go under as a Hosscat, Bad Henry. Then he's like went through some like character changes or whatever. Those two like were like a big proponent in like my initial like training in wrestling. And then from then I have done seminars under guys like Brutal Bob Evans and Tough Tim Hughes, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I've been to Ring of Honor's tryout seminar camp under like the Briscoes, Jay Lethal, Adam Cole, Kevin Kelly, Nigel McGuinness, Cheeseburger. I've had the pleasure of, since I've moved up here to Dayton, Ohio, and to get it to be a part of the OI4K Academy, getting to train under Dave Crist and learn under him, learn from Sammy Callahan, Madman Fulton, legendary Larry D. He's helped me a lot as far as just like just road advice and like being the best professional I can be and being smart with like traveling and just being smart about like business. Let's see. There has been, I've learned a lot from guys like Congo Kong. He's been awesome to me. Let's see, Jake Criss. He's helped a little bit in my time since I've been up here. It's just a huge list, like, because like you never stop learning. Like, yeah. even I know people that's been wrestling for like longer than I have, they're still like learning and trying new things and stuff like that. So like I've only been wrestling for 6 years, so I still have a lot more to learn. But that's just like the people right off the top of my head that I could think of that's like helped me along my way as far as so where I'm at right now. Yeah.
There was a lot of recognizable names on that list though that you just mentioned. Great that you've been able to cross paths and get information from all those guys.
Oh, that they've been like every guy that I've like named on the list have been like super helpful and like genuine. And I've been told from people in the past that like going and doing like seminars and things like that is just like a waste of money and a waste of time. They're just gonna tell you what you already know and stuff like that. But that's definitely not the case, because the guys that are like doing these seminars and like running these camps and things like that, they want to leave wrestling better than what they found it whenever they join. And whenever I'm to that point, I want to do the same thing. I want to leave it better than what I found it. And so it's a disservice if I don't share any bit of information that could help someone that I've gained, because that would be me basically giving the flipping the bird to the guys that gave me that information, and then I'm being selfish by not passing along to the generation behind me. And that's not who I am, and that's not what I want to do with the people coming in behind me from wrestling.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I'm gonna ask you a question. What's inspired your gimmick?
Really? There's all of my like internal interests. It's basically just kind of being pushed external, like the different kinds of like genres of music that I like, the TV, the video games, comic books, movies, just anything, like all of that is rolled into one, and that's what makes Crash Jackson Crash Jackson.
Okay.
If that's like the simplest way that I can put it, because like I'm very heavily influenced by music, because like the music that I come out to is very very upbeat, fast paced, like kind of in your face, almost like punk rock, but it's also got, it's very electronic, like EDM music. So that I have a strong love for both those kinds of music, just cause like music should make you feel something, and like those two types of music makes me like feel the most, because like beats and everything, like they're supposed to like get your heart rate up or like slow it down and things like that. And so whenever I'm getting ready to come out through the curtain, I want my music to get the heart rate up. So if my heart rate is getting up, the people's heart rate should get up. They should be getting excited with that fast pace, you know? Yeah, because that's kind of what they're going to expect. That's what they're going to see whenever I come out there. Because to be like, I'm a bigger guy, but like I don't move around like I'm a bigger guy. Like I'm pretty quick.
Yeah, I've seen a few of your clips and highlights on Facebook, and you were doing a little bit of high flying stuff. So I kind of I didn't see that coming, to be honest, but you definitely got it in you.
Yeah, most people don't. I think that to my many years of playing football and basketball, and the years of weightlifting, and just being an athlete, that's really helped me a lot when it comes to the things that I'm able to do and trying to do in the ring.
All right, you guys got something for him?
Yeah, Crash. Which way would you prefer to work, face or heel?
Either is like fun, but like I've been on a tear just like working face over the last probably 2 years. So that's probably that's my bread and butter right now. Just cause like, I don't know, a guy by the name of Delirious told me that I have this aura about me that just makes people want to cheer for me. So him and Ray Lloyd Glacier, they both told me that I should be a babyface everywhere I go. And so that's what I try to do whenever I go to new places, unless like the promoters like want something specific, then okay, I'll be heel. But if I have the choice, I'm gonna try my best to be babyface, just because like I feel like I have very excitable energy, and I guess my face helps. It's like I guess I got that kind of like face that like people just want to like cheer for.
I got you.
Yep.
Yeah, with what you were saying about, being a face, I know me and Jason got to see you wrestle at a BCW event last year. You wrestled Kobe Carmichael.
And oh, that was fun.
When we were down there, everybody was into it. Like, you did, like, put over. Mm-hmm. Everybody was cheering for you, into everything you were doing and all that stuff. And that kind of brings me to my next question. What other promotions have you wrestled for?
Let's see. I've wrestled for, obviously, BCW. I'd wrestled for WCCW. That was like the second or third promotion I'd ever worked for. I don't know if they're still around or not. I've wrestled for PTW, over there in Central Kentucky. I've wrestled for WWA, Tennessee All Pro Wrestling down in, it's like near Nashville. I can't remember the exact town it's in. I've wrestled for Pro Wrestling Revolver, Rockstar Pro, Synergy Pro. Let's see. I've done a couple of spots for Impact, XWA in Rhode Island, Watt Wrestling there in, they're also in Rhode Island. The list is like pretty deep, but like the longer I go without going to some of these places, I kind of forget about them, and I feel terrible because like I know I keep track of where I go, but I. My list is on my phone, and I'm on the Zoom call. You guys on my phone, so I can't go through and look at it right now.
Yeah,
but yeah, those are like the ones that like pop into my head like immediately that I've been to and wrestled for, just like straight off without having to like look at my list.
Yeah, you mentioned Impact. I think I'd seen a highlight in your highlight video. You got a work match with Brian Cage, I believe.
Oh, yeah. In that match, it was me, Brian Cage, Willie Mack, Madman Fulton, and Ace Romero. I think, or was there six of us? I feel like I'm forgetting someone. Brian Cage, Madman Fulton, Willie Mack, Ace Romero, myself. No, I think there was only five. Yeah, because I was replacing Moose in that particular match because he had suffered a knee injury like a couple weeks before, and Impact was running a show here in Dayton, so they needed a big guy to fill in the spot, and it helps knowing people to help you get opportunities sometimes.
Of course. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean,
yeah, it's good.
Also seen on your highlights, you know, you've also been in the ring with Brian Pillman Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you were in a match with him. So, you know,
that's been a long time ago. I think me and him.
Yeah, it looked like an older match.
Like once. That was like whenever one of my earlier matches.
Yeah.
Here at Rockstar, I think I still had long hair. In that match. Yeah, that was before like I did like a full like gimmick overhaul pretty much.
Okay. Well, going off that question, I was just gonna ask you, you know, you've been in all these promotions and stuff. What's been one match, or if you can think of one, that's really stuck out to you, you know, you're probably your favorite match you've done?
Probably number one is definitely the scramble match I got to do for Impact. That's definitely the number one for the simple fact that I got to share the ring with all those guys that were signed talent for Impact, and the bosses were like, hey, let's give this kid a shot, and I feel like I showed that I can hang with guys that are on TV and that I can go at that level. And just getting to share the ring with guys like Brian Cage and like Madman Fulton and Willie Mack, guys that I've been watching on TV for years, and getting to share the ring with them, and then like kind of like learning from them from like just different like pieces of advice and things like that was huge. Another match. There's another like scramble match from the Wrestling Revolver where Moose was in the match, and it was awesome getting to work with Moose because I'd worked with everyone else that was in the match before, but like that was the first time I got to share the ring with him, and he was like one of the first indie guys that I've seen whenever I started whenever I first got into wrestling. There was like four guys that I found on watching YouTube that I like kind of just followed from then on. And it was Moose, Akira Tozawa, Ricochet, and U-Haul Nation, who's Apollo Crews now in WWE. So getting to share the ring with one of those guys was awesome. And then getting to learn from him, because like he came from a similar background like I did. He played football, and he went from playing football to being a wrestler. So kind of getting to pick his brain a little bit and like learn from like his experiences was amazing.
Cool.
Got a question. Who would you consider, you know, if you could wrestle anybody, who would be your dream match?
I have a long list of dream matches.
Of course.
Just to name a few, like right off the top of my head, Aleister Black for sure. Dave Chris, Sammy Callahan, Madman Fulton. All these are singles matches, by the way, because I've wrestled some of these guys in multi-man matches and like tag matches and stuff. Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, Desmond Xavier. I've wrestled Ace Austin like several times in singles matches, but I want to wrestle him again just because every time we get in the ring together, it's better and better. I want to wrestle Moose in a one-on-one, Ricochet, Will Ospreay. I'd love to wrestle Blake Christian and Alex Zane. A buddy of mine, Cole Roderick, I'd love to get to wrestle him. Me and him's never – we've been in one match together, and it was a Rumble, and, like, we didn't even, like, actually – we interacted, but we didn't even, like, actually, like, wrestle each other. So I would love to get to, like, wrestle him in, like, a one-on-one. And that's just, like, names off the top of my head. Oh, Michael Elgin. Definitely Michael Elgin, for sure. I'd love to get to wrestle Rhino again. That'd be dope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did wrestle Rhino. Yep. How was that experience?
That was awesome because I didn't know that match was going to happen because I was doing a loop in the Northeast. Me, Clayton Gaines, and Ace Austin was doing a loop up there for like 3 or 4 days. And me and Clay was on the show for XWA on Sunday, but we wasn't for sure what we were doing yet. We didn't know if we were going to be a part of there, like they were having a Rumble or something, or if we were going to get like a singles match or whatever. So whenever we got there, everything got situated, we were going to have a singles match. And then Rhino's opponent, Anthony Henry, his flight got canceled out of North Carolina because there was a bad, like, snowstorm coming in from like North Carolina up towards the Northeast. So, and Rhino was already there, and Mike, the owner and promoter of XWA, he was like, "Hey guys, we're gonna turn your match into a triple threat." He was like, "Okay, cool. Who's in?" He was like, "Oh, Rhino." He was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, his opponent's flight got canceled. We couldn't make it, so he's already here. We're gonna give him something to do."
Cool.
So, like, getting to the bet, like, the coolest, like, moments and opportunities, though, it's not always, like, apparent because, like, sometimes it just happens. And that was one of those. And, like, getting to be in a match with him and, like, hanging out. I'd been in locker rooms with him before, but that was the first time I'd, like, whenever you're in a locker room with someone and then being in a locker room with someone that you're working with is like two different things because the people that you're going to be in the lot, like wrestling in your match with, you're going to be hanging out with those people most during your time in the locker room while you're getting dressed and things like that. So getting to talk to him for an extended amount of time as compared to all the other times that I've been in a locker room with him was amazing. Just listening to all of his like knowledge and like years of experience that he's got under his belt, and he's still participating at a high level, and for him to be in the business as long as he is, it's amazing.
Getting back to it, I had a question I wanted to ask you. what would you consider your in style, you know, your ring, your style in the ring, if you had to describe it?
I feel like the, if you're going to break, if we break it down like a video game, we'd probably call me like a powerhouse striker. That's like the best way that I could put it, but you can't really like limit myself to just that, even though that's like a lot of my offense is like striking. And, I take pride in being able to pick up people and be able to pick up whoever. But there's also like, cause like we've talked about like earlier that I'm quick and like I can do some of like the high flying stuff. So I feel like the top two like styles was definitely like striker, powerhouse, but like a sub style would be high flyer. So like if you want to break it, if you're making me in a video game, that's how I feel like you should put me in there if someone wanted to go and make me in like a wrestling video game. Cool. That's like that's the best way that I could describe it. Because like if you've watched one of my matches, you'll be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha. I gotcha. So I seen you were in a tag team with Christian Cobain.
Yes, sir.
At one point, I seen that from the other podcast. They were talking about it. And, you guys were called the Trash Punks. Am I correct on that?
We started off as the Trash Punks, but then we turned into just the Punks.
Okay. And this, you know, it seemed like that was really going over, and you was doing pretty good with the tag team. So, yeah, did you enjoy doing the tag team work?
Oh yeah, it was a lot of fun. The funny thing with that is like. We both moved up here to Dayton, Ohio, and for majority, like our careers have been very parallel with each other. Cause like, I think I started wrestling just a little bit like sooner than he did. Like we both started in 2014, or I think that's whenever we had like our first matches, was like in 2014. I think I may have started training maybe like a couple weeks before him, which doesn't matter. But it's funny because whenever we both moved up here to Ohio, I'd moved up here 2 weeks before he did. And then for majority of our careers leading up to that point, we were tag team wrestlers. And so like we were trying to use this as a point to break out and be like singles guys. But then the longer we were here, we ended up getting put together in a tag team, and we hated it at first because like we were roommates as well. So like we lived together, we trained together, we worked out together, we traveled together, so we were together all the time. It's like it's like, can we like not like wrestle together? But then we had a conversation, was like, you know what, let's just go all in with it and see what happens, because you know, we had the conversation that there's millions of like singles wrestlers that are trying to like get on TV, but how many like really good tag teams are there that are trying to get on TV? So we were like, you know what, let's try to take this as far as we can. And it was like really hot stuff. And I'm sure if someone wanted to book the Punks, I'm sure we could still do that. Just because me and him aren't roommates anymore doesn't mean like we're not like, we're still like really good friends. Like we still talk all the time, stuff like that. He has kids. So he had been living here for like a year or maybe a year and a half. I don't know. In wrestling time, it just like everything runs together. It seems like your days and everything like that. So he wanted to be back home with his two boys. And I completely understand that. I don't have kids, but I have nephews and a niece, and I hate not getting to see them all the time like I used to whenever I lived in Kentucky. But, you know, it's probably 100 times worse when they're like your actual kids. So I don't fault him for that. But him moving back home hasn't slowed him down with his wrestling, which I'm glad that, because like some people, whenever like they make their choices, like when it comes to like family or wrestling. Sometimes whenever they choose their family, sometimes wrestling will fall by the wayside. He didn't let that happen, and I'm super proud of him for like not letting that, because like he wants wrestling to be, he wants to be able to take care of his family with wrestling, and I'm glad that he didn't let the being a dad completely like cut wrestling out, because I've seen it happen with like a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with like choosing being a parent over wrestling. It's not what I'm saying at all, but being a dad is, it's a lot of work, and just being a parent in general. So, and also being a pro wrestler and trying to be like a wrestler that makes, like pays their bills with wrestling, that takes a lot of time and dedication and a lot of time on the road. So being able to balance the two and still being successful and being good at both, that takes a special kind of person. So hats off to any of the parents that are able to do both.
You got about 7 minutes.
That's awesome.
Cool. You guys got anything else for him? Go ahead.
Yeah, I got one more question. Now that things are starting to slowly open back up, what are your plans?
Try to wrestle at like the promotions that I haven't got to go to yet. Like GCW, Limitless, Beyond, bigger places like that. Because that's what's going to help me get myself on TV. And then also trying to travel and wrestle internationally as well, whether it be in Canada, Mexico, the UK, try to go to Japan. That's the goal. And I need to go even harder now. And with the COVID and stuff, like, it's terrible, but it's also been kind of like a little bit of a blessing in disguise, if you will, when it comes to like, cause like a lot of wrestlers, like they don't stop. So this is allowing a lot of people like get through like some nagging injuries and take care of stuff like that, that might've been hindering the way they were performing. And it also allows people to like kind of, you know, hit a reset button and kind of like switch things up. Cause like I'm kind of switching up my gear. Like, it's going to be similar to what it is, but like, it's not going to be the same. And also, I'm going to be switching up other things as well too. So this like time off has allowed me to take a step back and be able to like think and process and plan and deal with everything. Because before, it was just it was like Monday to Monday, because we'd have training 2 days a week. And then my shows that I would have would start on Wednesday until Sunday. So it was 24/7, 365 wrestling. So everything getting shut down has allowed, like I said, to take a step back and reevaluate, reprocess, regroup, you know? So it's terrible, but it's also like I'm a glass half full kind of guy. So it's been a good thing in a way.
Yeah. Cool. Man, I just want to thank you. Or go ahead, Jason. You got something?
No, I was just thank you for coming on the show before we close out. I was glad we were able to get it up with you and get you on the show. We'd like to get you back on the high down the road. Hopefully get to catch another match.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
One thing we're about, you know, we love supporting local wrestlers, local wrestling, you know, and so we're rooting for you. You know, we'll keep up with you and watch you as you grow. You know, hopefully we'll get to see you on TV someday, man. And so, you know, we had that guy on our show, that guy's from our neck of the woods, so definitely.
That's great. That's greatly appreciated, guys. That means a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and thank our sponsors one more time. High Tech Signs and Graphics, Prestonburg Pig and Poke, and McGuire's Insurance Agency. And thank you guys for, you know, helping us do the show weekly. And just want to say thanks to everybody that's watching and appreciate you guys. You guys got any closing comments?
I just like once again like to thank everybody for tuning in. I know Crash, if you want to plug your merch on Pro Wrestling Tees right now, you can. I know it's available on there. We have shirts available as well. So, but other than that, I just like to thank you once again for coming on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. For anyone that's going to be like watching and listening or whatever, all my social media and my Pro Wrestling Tees store and my YouTube and my Patreon, it's all under The Crash Jackson, JXON. Super simple, super easy to find. Also, I'm going to start streaming me playing video games soon on Twitch. So be on the lookout for that whenever I get a cool camera and a cool microphone. So be ready for that. So that's all I got.
Awesome. That's it, man. I'm gonna call it. You've been booked.
You've been listening to the Strong Booking Podcast. Your hosts are Jason Hughes, Jason White, and Dustin Dougie Campbell. Your producer is Kevin Horn. This has been a production of Hat Media Services.